Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 188 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host today, Chris Clegg, and joined with me is my 80 grade co-host, who's normally the main host, Mr. Eric Cross. Eric, how are you today?
Well, my voice, as everyone can hear, and as I tweeted about earlier today, sounds like junk. It's a 30 grade voice right now. It's my voice is the equivalent of like Byron Buxton's durability, Adalberto Mondesi's, you know, hit tool, something like that. But yeah, doing the old switcheroo, so I can talk a little less and save my voice a little bit. But outside of that, I'm doing pretty good, getting ready to get into the warm weather pretty soon here down in the southeast. It's snowing and cold here, so I'm really looking forward to getting down to some warmer weather and watch some more baseball. And we got a really fun episode today.
Yeah, for sure. Florida will be really nice. I will definitely miss seeing all of you there. Hope you have a good trip down there. But we've got a great episode in store. Before we get there, the normal housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Roto Clegg. Eric is at EricCross04. Our podcast is at The Tool Shed Pod. And if you enjoy the podcast, we ask if you would please rate and review. It goes a long way in helping our podcast grow. We just had our biggest month ever in January. We're looking to build on that success all year, and your support goes a long way. So we appreciate that. Be sure to check out Eric's Patreon for more of his work, and check out my Substack for more of my work. Before we get into the show, we do want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up for Underdog using the promo code TOOLSHED, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 that can be used for any of their great fantasy games, which includes MLB best balls, individual player pick'ems across all sports, and so much more. And I can just say that Underdog is a great platform. I enjoy playing on it myself. not only the best balls, but the pick'ems. Can't wait for that to start with baseball. Obviously, that's my thing, but you can do it for any sport, which is the great part. So sign up today. Use their code TOOLSHED at play.underdogfantasy-p-the-toolshed. So sign up today, Underdog Fantasy, using the code TOOLSHED. Let's get into the episode. Last episode, if you listened, we did our prospect crystal ball where we projected our top prospects for 2024. And today, we're sticking with the same theme, but going with the dynasty aspect. So we're actually going to look 3 years out at our projected top dynasty players that includes prospects. So all players in the player pool that we think will be at the top of each position in 2026 preseason. So 3 years from now, who will be at the top? It's going to be a really fun discussion. There's going to be a lot of names. There's going to be people switch positions, and we may have those that we don't agree on. We do not know who put who where. These are blind, but we're going to go into it. We're going to start with a catcher position, which is getting better. It's still not great. And, you know, looking at it, I was a bit concerned about the depth maybe 3 years from now and who would be taking those spots and which prospects could take the jump. So I'll be interested to see who Eric has in his top five. And I'll start with you. Who do you have? Who are your five catchers that you think will be the top catchers in 2026?
Dude, this was so hard. I wanted to put like nine guys in the top five. Had to narrow it down, obviously. So I do think the guys that are not going to be in here, I think JT will still be good. He'll be 35 then. So that's obviously, I think he'll be more like that 6 to 10 range. The same thing with Varsho. I think he's not going to be 3 years from now. I don't think he'll have catcher eligibility. So I took him out. But my top five, going 5-1, I have Austin Wells at five. I've been riding this Austin Wells train. I'm going to stick with it. I think he debuts later this year, so he'll be going into his, that'd be his third full year in 2026. I think he'll be very much established then as a nice power speed blend. So I have him at five. At four, I have Alejandro Kirk. You know, I think obviously the hit tool is elite, and I think the power will be there. Now, he'll still only be 27 then. So I think he's just kind of stick right where he is. Guy that's like fourth, fifth, right in that general range of catcher rankings, and I don't see any reason to think he's going to move way up, way down. I think he's just be very, very solid there. Number three, I got Will Smith. He'll be pushing 31 then, but I don't think that's, you know, I'm not thinking he'll be starting to fall off by that point in time. He's proven to be one of the most consistent players in baseball, not just at this position. You know, guy that you can basically pencil in for like 260, 25 home runs, and you know, pretty solid counting stats, runs, RBIs as well. Number two, I got William Contreras. I think that might be maybe the hottest take of this five. It's not like super hot, but it's probably the most out there of the five, or maybe Austin Wells. I love the power, obviously the quality of contact. Metrics are very, very good. I think he can hit for a solid average, 250 or better. And I think he's going to be a middle-of-the-order type of guy up there in Milwaukee for the next couple of years, so. And I think he could be a guy that like basically is what Will Smith is with a bit more home run upside. And number one, this was easy. Like Adley Rutschman, I don't see anybody kind of upseating him for that top spot. Obviously, four category monster, you know, safe as they come, highest up. He's at the highest floor and the highest upside at this position, I think. So easy number one, and he'll be right around 28 at that time. So Austin Wells, Kirk, Will Smith, William Contreras, and Adley Rutschman.
Was there one that you had a hard time leaving off the list? Because there were a lot of good names, and you know, especially with some of the aging guys, it was like, I don't know where they'll be. Was there a particular one that was really hard for you to leave off?
Yeah, the hardest to leave off were Wilson Contreras. So he'll only be 33 then. And then the other two young guys, like Francisco Alvarez and Andy Rodriguez, I wanted to put them in so bad. Like, they're probably 6 and 7 for me. You know, I don't think, like I said, JT, I don't think he's going to completely fall off. I think he'll still be top 10. So it felt weird to not have him top five. But I tried to make a spot for Alvarez and Andy, but only could pick five. So they're 6 and 7. But yeah, this was one of the harder positions because I like so many names. And I could see Harry Ford. I could see him getting in this range. Maybe Moreno. If the power comes along, we'll see. We know the hit tool and the approach is elite. Now, those are another two that, you know, maybe Bo Naylor, Logan O'Hoppe. I don't know about top five for them. maybe top 10. And maybe Melendez, like possibly he could be up there as well. But yeah, this was such a deep position. This was really hard to do just five.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me, I was looking, I mean, JTR is 32 right now, so 35-year-old catcher. Just not comfortable with that aging curve there for catcher. So a 35-year-old, right. I mean, Varsho, I'm all but confident that he's no longer catcher eligible after this year, so much less 3 years from now.
Agreed, yep.
Sal Perez is nearly 33, so that one was tough. Wilson Contreras was tough. He'll be almost 34 at the time. So he was a tough one for me to rank. Sean Murphy was the other one I had a tough time that I did leave off. But let me get into mine. My top five was Alejandro Kirk at five. We just look at Kirk. He's 24 years old. I think that we haven't seen nearly his best yet. And I think he's only going to get better. So for me, Kirk has a great feel to hit. He's got power. And I think the Blue Jays seem to be confident in his ability. And he's going to play most every day. Like, I know he's going to split time with Danny Jansen behind the plate, but he's still going to play. He's going to get reps at the DH spot. And thinking about the fact that he may only be, he'll only be 27 3 years from now, there's a lot of value to be had here. The next guy at number four is interesting, and I'm not sure how this plays out, but it's MJ Melendez. I think Melendez is a massive beneficiary of the shift ban. He had the largest difference in WOBA last year, shifted and unshifted, and it was by a pretty substantial margin. We could see Melendez get a tick up in batting average. I know the power's there. There's no doubt about it. What I like about him is that he's versatile and that he plays a lot. At this point, 3 years from now, I'm not sure, you know, how much Sal is actually catching. So Melendez could pretty much be the everyday guy, but I'm pretty confident that Melendez does keep the eligibility until at least 2026 and maybe beyond. I do think that unless something drastically changes in the Royal system, I think that Melendez is the guy and going to keep that catcher eligibility. And the nice thing is that he is going to play a lot because he's also played in the outfield some. So number three for me was Francisco Alvarez. It was tough because I honestly, like, him and Indy aren't that dissimilar from a fantasy perspective. I know they're different profiles, but they both bring interesting, you know, aspect of their game to the table that could really cause them to provide for fantasy purposes. But we know Alvarez has big power. Indy, I honestly question if he moved off the position. When looking at 3 years from now, I don't know if he'll still have eligibility. The Pirates also have Henry Davis behind the plate. Right. And which one do they choose? Did both catch and Indy play second some, corner outfield some? Possibly, but I did struggle with that a bit. So I ended up leaving Indy off and I put Alvarez on. Alvarez mashes baseballs. There's some contact concerns, absolutely, but he's a big OBP play. He's going to be in a great lineup. He's maybe doesn't play as much this year. And honestly, like, I think that by midseason, he may be a trade target because the Mets are going to do some weird things this year. The Mets have just bought and traded for any player they want. And they've pretty much said that Alvarez is not going to be in the opening day lineup. He's going to be in AAA. So if he stays down a couple months, his value could drop, which could create an opportunity for you to buy in a dynasty league. But I do think 3 years from now, Alvarez is a top five guy. My number two was Will Smith, who I'm pretty confident in. I mean, he's just been steady as can be. Power, OBP, respectable batting average in a great lineup. And you know, the Dodgers lineup's interesting this year. It's not as good, but I'm not expecting it to be bad in 2026. I mean, they'll do something crazy. I know this year they're trying to get below the cap for next year. So not the cap, but the luxury tax, so they can load up again. So from that standpoint, like, Will Smith is still going to be a top guy then. And then both of our number ones, pretty easy choice, Adley Rutschman. It wasn't much debate for me. Adley just brings such a unique profile to the table. His feel to hit, he's going to hit for a good average. He's going to be an elite OBP asset. He's got the power. That Orioles lineup is going to be insane by 2026. So much talent in the system. They're already getting to the bigs. And Adley was impressive last year in a small sample as a rookie. So I'm all in on Rutschman. If you can get him in a dynasty league, I absolutely would. So the catcher position is interesting. This gives you a peek into what we think it could be. You know, the prospects here are a little bit tougher. I don't know. Alvarez could be top five. He may not be. We talked about Indy. He may be at the position. He may not be.
Right.
So there's a wide range of, you know, what could happen at this position. But one thing I think we're both confident in is that Adley Rutschman and Will Smith are still top guys 3 years from now.
100%.
We can say that with certainty. So let's move to the first base position. This one was interesting to me too, because I was, as I'm going down my current rankings, I'm like, okay, like, you know, where's the drop off for some of these guys? Like, or do they all stay consistent? Like, who could rise up at the position? Because first base does not have a lot of talented prospects. So for me, it was really tough. And I had one guy that was really hard for me to leave off this. And I'm curious if you'll say his name or not, but let's get your top five, Eric. Who you got at first base?
I have a feeling that the guy you were just alluding to is my number five. Let's see if I'm right. It is Kyle Manzardo.
I have Manzardo on, so.
But that wasn't the guy that you left off. Okay.
No, that wasn't him.
Yeah, this was pretty, you know, this wasn't actually as tough as catcher. There were a couple guys that I wanted to put in, but, you know, the just miss wasn't quite as long of a list here. But I do have Kyle Manzardo at five. You know, he's shown, obviously, phenomenal minor league production, on-base abilities, approach, power. You know, he's going to be a four-category beast. So you could say, I basically just described my numbers 5, 4, and 3. So I think these guys are all interchangeable, but I do have Tristan Casas at number 4. I think you're going to really see him blossom this year and over the next 3 years. The power is elite. I've seen it firsthand. Yeah, he didn't have the gaudy home run totals in the minor leagues, but he even said he was focusing on, you know, just being a better hitter, you know, working on going the other way, you know, two-strike approach, all that stuff, which I'm glad he did. Because we know, like, the power, he could just, boom, you know, flip a switch, turn it on, it's there. I think he's a 30-plus home run middle-of-the-order thumper. So he's my 4. Vinny Pasquantino at 3. I mean, I've ranted on him so much about him. I don't really need to say much more, obviously. Everything I said about Manzardo, take that and add a little bit. That's Vinny. He's elite, 4-category production. He's already proven to be one of the best pure hitters in baseball. I think the power ticks up this year as well. I think the run production will be pretty good. I think the KC lineup will be sneaky good. I think he'll just get better over the years as well. At 2, Pete Alonso. Pete will be... What will Pete be? Pete will be 31. So I think he's still going to be a masher at that point. I don't think he's going to be a guy that falls off a cliff in his early 30s. And then we've seen a lot, especially first basemen, you know, they age fine into the early 30s for the most part. As long as the body's good, Alonso's body's fine. No issues there. And then number 1, this one was also kind of easy. It's Vlad Jr. I know I kind of crap on Vlad, just more so in the Vlad versus Yordan debate, but obviously Vlad is a great hitter. He's a generational talent. He's a 4-category beast. He actually ran a little bit last year, which is kind of fun. We'll see if that continues this year. Even if he gives you another 5-6, it's just something. So he's on a 0, and Toronto's lineup is very good around him. Good hitter's park. He's going to be about 27, you know, in his physical prime at that point in time. No reason for me to think that he's not number 1 at that point in time. So I go Manzardo, Casas, Vinny P, Alonso, and Vlad Jr.
So you didn't say the one that I was struggling with, and that was Nate Lowe for me, or Nathaniel Lowe.
He was one of the ones him and Andrew Vaughn were the two I had the hardest time leading off.
Yeah, for me, I was trying to look at the age, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, what will Nathaniel Lowe be like? And he's 27 right now. So what's he going to look like at, you know, 30? I'm not sure. And I just couldn't justify putting him over the 5 that I have. Freddie Freeman was tough. He's been so consistent, but at 36.5, like, yeah. I'm just not sure we can count him in to be a top 5 first baseman. So, spoiler alert, I left off both of those guys. But my 5th was Matt Olson. Olson is almost 29, but this is kind of profile that I do think ages well. So he's not far off age-wise from Pete Alonso. Olson is going to be in Atlanta for the foreseeable future. He'll still be there, obviously, in 3 years. This lineup's going to be really good. He's going to hit right in the middle of it. And weirdly enough, they've been experimenting with him at the top of the order, first and second, like in spring training. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But regardless, I think that Olson is going to be just the steady bat that he's always been. 35 home runs or more. And he's not going to give you the best average, but 270 won't kill you. And I think that's going to be the range. He may not be that high, but even still, like, I think there's some value to be had here with Olson. And this profile ages well, in my opinion. 4th, I have Kyle Manzardo. Eric talked about him. We've talked about him a lot on the show. We both love what Manzardo brings to the table. His contact skills are elite. I think he's a true 70-grade hitter. He doesn't have bad platoon splits at all. if you're concerned about him being a lefty against lefties, he's performed fine against them. So I'm not worried. You know, some of the exit velocity numbers aren't the most impressive, but he still gets to the power. And I've seen him hit some absolute missiles in person. Hit one that I saw at a game in Greenville over the wall that was 420 on a line. I believe in Kyle Manzardo's power and hit, and I think he's just going to be a really good player for a long time. So Manzardo, despite being on the Rays, he definitely makes this list. Vinny Pasquantino is also my third. Vinny, yeah, not much to add to him either. We've talked him up a lot. You know, he's Kyle Manzardo with more power. The contact skills are even better, at least from a zone contact perspective that we saw last year. His EVs are significantly better. The park, I don't know if it hurts him or not, but this is the kind of player I think kind of transcends that a bit. Just great. Looking at Vinny P's profile. And I've got Pete Alonso at two. Again, I'm not particularly worried about how he ages either. I think Alonso is he's been as consistent as they get. You know, he's been 260, 40 home runs. I mean, since he debuted, he averages over 40 home runs a season. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. And then also, we've both got the same number one, Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't think we've seen his best. Maybe we saw his peak when he mashed 48 home runs, but I'm not so sure that we've seen peak Vlad Guerrero Jr. yet. And I still think that the best is yet to come. The values and people look at him just kind of all over the board. It's really strange, like how we aren't still sure what to do with him. He's 24 years old. He's still coming into his own. And I believe that Vlad Guerrero Jr. will be a stud for a long time. So my five goes Matt Olson, Kyle Manzardo, Vinny Pasquantino, Pete Alonso, and then Vlad Guerrero Jr. at number one.
Did you consider Cassis for that? Just curious.
He's like eight on the list. So
all right, so not too far.
Not too far.
There was a cluster, I'll say. Obviously, I wanted to put Freeman in. Obviously, you love Freeman from being an Atlanta guy. I love Freeman just because he's fun. He's a great baseball player. He's a fun guy. Looks like a good dude. So, you know, it's hard not putting him in. Vaughn, Lowe. I think all those guys will be F. The next five will be pretty damn good. If we do the top 10, all those guys would be top 10 for sure.
Yeah, I think the first base position is in good hands. So let's transition to second base, which was actually really hard for me. This is one of the harder ones to project.
Dude, this position sucked. Like there was other positions that were hard because there were so many good guys. This one was like, well, who's still there? You know, who's going to be good? This was really hard to put five together.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the top guys currently are older. I mean, Altuve and Semien, both pushing 33 already. So that made it tough. Like, I mean, Trevor Story's already declining. Like, I had no clue what to do here, to be honest. And I struggled to project position eligibility a bit. So I'm curious if we differ any here. Probably not, but it'll be fun to see. But second base, top five, who you got?
I think we are going to differ because my five are a wonky five. I mean, I like them all. But it's just so I don't even like number four that much. But I think he's solid. He's gonna be up there. But number five for me, I'm going Curtis Meade, one of the better pure hitters in the minor leagues. You know, one of the best combinations of hit and power you'll see. Very underrated. Is he gonna be at second base? I don't know. Could be second. Could be third. Hell, could be first. I don't know. It's the Rays. Who knows? But I think there's a chance of him ending up at second base. So I will go with Meade here. At four, I'm going to go Andrés Giménez. Again, I'm not a big Andrés Giménez guy, but he's solid. He's like, you know, 15 home runs, 20 steals, 270 average. I mean, take what he did last year. It maybe had a little bit of speed. His speed's legit. I don't think he's a, you know, near 300 hitter. I don't think he's 20-plus home runs, but, you know, 270 and 15 are absolutely fine. You know, solid all-around production there. Three, you know, I've been driving this guy's hype train or one of the drivers, I guess. So I'll stick with it. I'm going Connor Norby at three. I know I'm one of the highest around on Norby, but I think we're going to see like some Ozzie Albies-esque production at peak from him potentially. I think he's got the skills to do that or maybe a little bit less, but I think he's a, you know, 20-plus home run guy, 15 steals, solid 260, 270 average. You know, it's a solid OBP as well. I think that Baltimore lineup's going to be really, really good. Like, I think 3-4 years from now, when you get Norby up, you get Colt Cowser up, you get Kobe Mayo up, you get Westberg up, Gunners, you know, 3 more years experience, Adley. You know, I think this is going to be a very, very, very good Baltimore lineup. At two, I got Ozzie Albies still. He's going to be, what's he going to be? Albies will be 29. Let me go over to this, the right page here. Yep, Albies will be 29 at that point in time. You know, there is some concern. Obviously, he's had some injuries over the last couple of years. He's already not 100% this year. Hopefully, it's just a minor speed bump. He gets back to the 25, 15 type of guy that we've kind of come to know and love with plenty of counting stats. So I don't think he'll fall off a cliff quite yet. And then number one, which is the only one we kind of talked about beforehand, just to see what we were going to do with this guy. Going, we both think he's moving back to this position. Jazz Chisholm Jr., 28 years old at the time. I think the average will probably be 250-ish, but hey, that's going to come with maybe pushing 30-30 on an annual basis. Who knows how good the lineup would be around him down there in Miami, but if you're getting, you know, 25-plus with an average that you can live with, I think he's going to be number one.
Yeah, so definitely a tough position to rank. I didn't include Meade because I wasn't sure about the eligibility. And he's played a lot of second base, so it's like it was a weird spot. And at one point I had him number four on the list. I was like, I think he's third base, but who knows? Like he could
be third base. Yeah, it was so hard with Meade. Like yeah. Some of these guys, I'm like, where do they end up? Yeah, and plus like with like you mentioned with Altuve and Semien, I'm like, obviously they're great, but they're gonna be pushing 36 at this point in time, so it's kind of hard to include them. I think they'll still be like probably back end top 10, but it's hard to have them in the top five.
Yeah, same. And the position to me just isn't in good hands in the future either. Maybe some shortstops move over. Not quite sure. But my five, it may be totally off the wall, but I went with Julian.
Ooh.
It may be a little spicy take, but
I like Julian.
Yeah, I mean, he's an OBP monster. He needs to be a bit more aggressive. And if he is, then I think everything kind of comes. We've seen some big EVs from him. Actually, today, hit two home runs against the Braves in spring training. Both over 106 miles an hour. He was in the AFL Home Run Derby. I mean, I know he wasn't great in the AFL Home Run Derby, but he was in the Home Run Derby. So he's an interesting profile to me. He's continually gotten better. So with the position the way it is, I was like, I don't have Altuve or Semien in here. 36, I'm like, I don't like either those profiles might age by 36. So it was like, I don't know where to go. And I just landed on Julian for the fifth one. The top four were a little easier for me, even though I don't love it per se. I have Gleyber Torres at four.
I debated Torres.
Yeah. Torres is not spectacular, but he's just solid. And I think that the expectations were so high after that year when he hit, 38 home runs and like 22 of them came against the Orioles. It was like everybody thought he was the next superstar. And it didn't come. But in reality, that's okay. He just turned 26 in December. So he won't even be 30 by the time this comes around. He was still good last year. I mean, he hit 257, you know, 24 home runs, 10 stolen bases. And if that's who he is, like at second base, that's certainly usable. So Gleyber Torres came in at four for me. Then I went Andrés Giménez at three. I don't know. It was another weird one where Giménez is young. He's got the power speed element. I do slightly worry about regression a bit with Giménez this year. But again, we're looking at 27-year-old Giménez then coming into his prime. Maybe we see a bit more power from him. And so from that standpoint, I was like, okay, I'll go with Giménez here. And I'm trusting that he will continue his development path. And the top two, Albies and Chisholm, both, I mean, Albies will be 29, Chisholm will be 28. Power speed elements there. I think people are concerned about Albies. I learned that Albies had a shoulder procedure this offseason, which I hadn't heard of till, you know, last several days, which was interesting. So I think he'll be fine. I'm not particularly worried about him. And hopefully that was like he was beat up pretty bad last year, but he's been fairly healthy throughout his career. So I'm hoping that last year was an outlier and Albies will be fine. And Jazz, the power speed element is just so, so good.
I'm making a change live on the air. I just thought of something that I should have thought of that I actually think is going to happen. All right. So we're going to bump out Meade to six. Sorry, Curtis Meade. Giménez goes to five. Norby goes to four. Okay, I'll put him at three. I was debating three or two. I think Anthony Volpe moves over to second base. I think there's a realistic chance of that. I think Peraza can stick it short. Volpe over to second base. I don't know why. I was looking at my rankings. It just dawned on me. I'm like, oh, yeah, that is actually a realistic possibility. So, yes, I will move Volpe up to three. and then Norby to four and Jimenez to five.
You know, that's a really good call because Peraza is going to be the guy to start the year, and Peraza is going to get every chance to stick. They're not going to call up Volpe to dispel Peraza if Peraza's playing well. So I think there's a realistic chance that Volpe comes up and plays second base, and that could last. Like, that could be a really good double play duo there with Volpe and Peraza. And with a shift ban, I think the defense is even more important. So having someone that's, you know, quick and versatile like Volpe at second, actually a pretty good call. I do like that a lot. I would definitely have Volpe on this list too. I think I'd have him three if I had him at second base, to be honest. I think I'd like him above Jimenez. So good call out there. Third base. This one was really fun and kind of wild. The top guys are seem like they're going to be the top guys still, but we have a couple of the top guys that are already over 30, which kind of made me question a bit. And I threw a complete wild card in the middle of this, which would be fun. And ooh, I'll be interested to see if you can guess who the wild card is. But I'll let you go first with your top five. Who you got at third base?
I'm trying to figure out who the wild card is. Give, let me. Is he? Has he debuted yet?
Yes.
Debuted. Wild card. Where did you put him at three?
Three. Yep. Dead in the middle.
He's debuted. I don't know why my brain is going to Ke'Bryan Hayes. Ke'Bryan Hayes?
It's not Hayes. This is still a prospect eligible player. I'll say that.
Ooh. All right. I don't know. I gotta figure that one out. I'm not quite sure.
Maybe a shock, and it may be a completely wild call, but we'll see.
Well, now I'm curious, Chris.
Get your top five. We'll get back to it.
I'm trying to figure out who this is. I'm having a hard time.
Maybe you have them too. I don't know. They're not it's not in the top group of third basemen right now. And it's a prospect that has debuted.
Well, I don't have him now. I'm just like sitting here trying to figure out who you have. But I am going to go, and I fought myself on this one. I didn't want to put him five, but it did make sense. You know what? Actually, no, I'm not going to put him five. I'm making a change on the air again. I was debating between these two guys. I'm going to go back to this guy. I'm putting Joe Ram at five. I almost left Joe Ram off. He's going to be 33, go into his age 34 season. But it felt weird to leave Joe Ram off. But again, this position is so star-studded that even, you know, a slight drop-off could move Joe Ram from like one or two at this spot to five or six. Because like obviously you got the Devers and the Rileys of the world. So I'm going to go Joe Ram at five. I'm going to go Machado at four. And he's going to be 33. I don't see him falling off much either. At least not to the point where he's out of my top five quite yet. Maybe he will. I don't know. That was a hard call. Both these guys are going to be 33 years old. That's like when you start getting, you know, production might start declining at that point in time. But Machado's been so consistent. I find it hard to believe he's just going to fall off quickly. So I will leave him here. This is kind of a boring list because it's a lot of the same guys that are already, you know, in this top five. But I got Austin Riley at three, Endeavors at two. You know, they've been neck and neck in my rankings for about a year now. I don't see that changing. You know, Riley's about half a year younger. You know, hopefully Boston's lineup gets better again to the point where it's a top 10 lineup. We'll see. But I don't see, you know, those two kind of moving. I think they're going to stick right where they are. You know, back in top 20 players overall, you know, top five of this position. So they are three and two. And then at one, I'm going Ellie De La Cruz. I think he moves over to third, or at least has a chance of it. So much that could go on in the left side, or just really in that entire Reds lineup. There's so many good prospects. It'd be fun to see how that plays out. But I do think there's a realistic chance he moves over to third. And I think while the average might be up, you know, up and down, OBP probably won't be the greatest, but this is a guy that's could be 30-30 annual, you know, annually. So that power speed blend is just hard to, you know, match. So I will put Ellie at one. So I got Joe Ram, Machado, Riley, Devers, and Ellie De La Cruz at one. Now I want to hear who your surprise guy is.
All right. So I, like you, had Joe Ram at five. I question the body's aging. Like, what is he going to be like? I mean, he's a top guy right now. But I'm a bit concerned about Joe Ram aging, so it's like, I don't know. I did leave him at five. I still think a 33-year-old Joe Ram is very productive. I also went Machado at four. Machado, to me, has been as steady as they come, and I don't really see a 33-year-old Machado falling off. mean, he's got the massive contract from San Diego. He's going to be around for the foreseeable future. And I think they also believe that he will be really good for a long time. So my surprise is Brett Beatty.
Okay, that was my next guess. I was thinking maybe Beatty.
Complete wild card, but Beatty just brings so much to the table. Beatty brings really good feel for contact in the zone. He brings really high exit velocities and power. And just, I don't know. I look at this Mets lineup. When Beatty gets the chance to succeed, I just think that he's going to be a cog in the middle of that lineup with Pete Alonso for a while and be really, really good. I mean, I can see Beatty developing to a 30 home run bat pretty easily. He's got to lift the ball a little more, but I think it's highly realistic that Brett Beatty continues his development. He continues to, you know, get the swing path right, to lift the ball a bit more. And 30 home runs is definitely in the cards with a respectable average too. You know, I'm not confident he's getting much time this year, but the Mets are the Mets. Beatty's going to get a shot and be really good, I think.
You're making all of our buddies that are Mets fans very happy right now. Like, hey, Michael Simeone, keep your pants on, all right? It's going to be okay. You know, Simeone, Ariel Cohen, everyone's getting very excited about this take, Chris.
Yeah, they'll trade him for a reliever, but...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It worked out pretty well for him last time, so.
It did. Yep. It did.
All right. And the top two are the same as yours. I have Rafael Devers at two and Austin Riley at one. It's splitting hairs. They're back-to-back in my rankings. They probably will still be back-to-back unless something drastically changes. They've been eerily similar the last several years, and I don't really see that changing. Riley is a year younger, but it's not significant. He's half a year younger, my bad, but nothing significant. They're still going to be in their prime. Both these lineups, you know, the Red Sox lineup will be good in 2026. I'm confident in that, and the Braves lineup will still be very good as well. So just looking at the... That group is pretty much all the top guys now. And I threw in Brett Beatty too. So it's interesting. It was fun. But this is where it really got fun. Shortstop. What you got? Top five at shortstop.
Dude, this was insanely tough. This was the hardest position overall. Because it wasn't hard, like second base, because it was so weird. But just because obviously there's always so much elite talent at the shortstop position, both established and young. Had to leave like one guy. I'm probably gonna get yelled at for leaving this guy off, but I just wonder. And I'm gonna say it's Trey Turner. He's number six for me. It was hard. Obviously, Trey Turner has been an elite five category stud for the last handful of years. I don't think it's gonna change the next year or two, but he's gonna be pushing 30. It'll be 33 early on in this season that we're talking about here for this episode. Got to wonder if the speed starts declining a little bit. I don't know. I could absolutely, come back to eat my words and then he could, still be elite Trey Turner. But again, like I was saying with Joe Ram, even a slight step back with these names at this position means you're going from number two to number six in this position or something like that. So that's how tight the rankings are. So he was the one that just missed. But my five, I got Wander Franco at five. And while, I've questioned whether he's a, slightly better real life player than fantasy, I think we're still going to get an elite average. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think there's going to be 20 to 25 home runs, 10 to 15 steals. Again, I don't think he's going to be a stud. I don't think he's like top five overall player. But is he a guy that could get into like the top 20 overall as the fifth best shortstop? Absolutely. I totally think that profile is in there. So I feel like I had to rank him here at 5. At 4, I got this is one that could look great. He could be a spot or two higher, or it could look totally wrong, and he could be a guy that's, you know, not even top 20 at this position, and that's O'Neal Cruz. Like, the power speed, it's there. See if he can, you know, make strides as a pure hitter with the approach, get the K rate down. But, man, like that, we've seen it already this way. He had the hardest hit ball in the StatCast era. Like, harder than Judge, harder than Stanton, all of them. He has it. As a rookie, he had it. And sprint speed's elite, too. I mean, like, this 30-30 potential here, I just wonder where the hit tool is at. But, hey, again, if he can just hit kind of like what I was saying with a guy like Ellie, like, with the power speed is so elite, you're going to run higher BABIPs. Now, that's usually how it goes. And you can live with a 250 average if you're getting all that power and speed and probably pretty solid running RBI totals. Though it's Pittsburgh, so who knows. At 3, I got Gunnar Henderson. There was questions with him and one other guy here, but whether they be at short or third. I think they're both at shortstop. Gunnar, he's already kind of flashed a lot of his tools already. Hard hit rate, barrel rate, walk rate, you know, sprint speed's pretty solid as well. I think he's the big guy that just settles in as a, you know, 25 to 30, maybe a little bit over that, home run guy, you know, 10 to 15 steals, good average, good OBP. You know, this is a guy that could be just a guy that settles in as like a top, you know, 12 to like in the middle, the 15 give or take range overall rankings. It's a really, really good back end first round, top end second round kind of fantasy player. So I have him at 3. I could have flip-flopped these two that I think would be very similar in value moving forward, but I still got Bo Bichette at 2. Basically everything I've just said about Gunn, I think Bo is going to be like a 25, 15 guy, good average. I'm not overly worried about how he started last year. Like, he's proven, you know, for the vast majority of his career that he obviously is an elite player outside of his couple of months where he was a mere mortal, a mere average player. But I think he's going to be about 28 at this point in time. So right in his physical prime, I think he's going to be putting up a lot of the same numbers he is now. And at 1, I got Bobby Witt Jr. He was the other one that was debating whether he's short at short or third. I think he's at short. He'd be number 1 at third. He'll be number 1 at short. I think he's going to be a guy that pushes that top tier or kind of settles in as like number 6, 7, 8 guy in my overall rankings. I mean, he's 8 right now. 20-30 as a rookie. There's more power there. He showed more patience in the minor leagues. I think people are kind of like looking at like, the OPS wasn't great, or, you know, the OBP wasn't great. Like, I don't care. I don't give a crap. Like, I seen what this guy is. Like, I watched, obviously, I never saw him live in the minors, but obviously watched a ton of video of him. You know, the production, everything was there. Why can't he hit for more power? Why can't we expect progression from a second year player that was an elite Uber prospect that was drafted number 2 overall, was always a top 5 prospect, even top 1. So I think he can, there's a legit chance. And he was the fastest guy in baseball last year until Corbin Carroll came up. I think there's a legit chance you see Witt go, you know, I wouldn't even put 30-40 equation. I think that I probably a low likelihood outcome, but 25-35, absolutely. With, you know, plenty of runs in RBI, and I think the average could tick up 260, 265, 270, something like that. Probably never as a high OBP guy, but I think 330, 340, that's definitely a possibility as well. So got him at 1 for those reasons.
Yeah, this position was weird because there's a couple guys, like we said, that didn't know where they'll be. I'm probably going to have a spicy take at 1, but starting at 5, I have Gunnar Henderson, who really like, and all these guys are players that I like a lot. Like, these are all really good players. So I have Gunnar Henderson at 5. Don't have much to add there. You know, he's got elite plate discipline. He's got great power. He's got sneaky speed, too. Does everything that you want him to do. I have Wander Franco at 4. It's funny how quick everybody jumped off board with Wander Franco after last year as a 21-year-old rookie. Like, what are we doing? It's just nuts, man. But I'm confident in Wander Franco's bat-to-ball ability, his developing power and speed, and he's going to be a great asset. Like, there could be years that Wander Franco hits 330. Like, yep. I'm 100% serious about that. Yep. And give you 20-plus home runs and 10 stolen bases.
Yep.
It may not be the flashiest counting stats, but, man, that batting average floor is ridiculous. So I'm counting on Wander Franco to bounce back. Not even bounce back. I mean, we're talking about, he was a 21-year-old rookie in the major league. He doesn't have to bounce back from anything. He was hurt. Nothing to bounce back from. He's a stud player. I have Bo Bichette at 3. Love Bo. Bo season was highly underrated last year, too. Everybody basically thought that he had a terrible year. Bo was still really good. I think Bo takes another step forward or back forward to his speed and stolen bases. And he gets back to that 20 stolen base mark. He was nearly 30-30 the year before. And I just think Bo's going to be really, really good again. So I'm counting on Bo coming back in a big way this year and being good for a long time. Still young, still a lot to like. I have Bobby Witt Jr. at 2. I don't have much to add to what Eric said. Love Bobby Witt. Love what he did last year as a rookie. I don't care if his OBP was below 300. He was a rookie. He was, 21, 22-year-old rookie. So it's time to stop worrying about little things like that and not think that players can get better. Spicy 1, I have O'Neill Cruz coming in at 1.
That's what I thought. I had it narrowed down to O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz.
Yep. So one of the Cruises, and it was O'Neill. I mean, as Eric said, hardest hit ball. He mashes the ball consistently hard. He's got really good speed. There were some really good improvements towards the end of the year that if you weren't paying attention, you missed. I know the strikeout rate was still high, but again, this is a otherworldly type player with the tools that he has. And if he can just improve the contact skills a little bit, then he's going to take off. Like, he's already said he wants to go 40-20 this year, and he wants to steal even more than 20 bases. Now, a player saying something is pretty meaningless, but again, there's ambitions, there's drive, and O'Neill Cruz is going to be a stud. So the skills, the tools are better than any other shortstop on the board, in my opinion. So I'm just going to go spicy and say that O'Neill Cruz is the top shortstop on the board at this point. You know, it may not even be a shortstop. Who knows? But I'm going with it.
It's funny. Like, I guess you could label it in spicy, but I don't think it's like super spicy. I obviously, like we both said, he has all the skills in the world. If it clicks, this is a stud. Like, this is a guy that can get up into the first round annually of fantasy players. So yeah, I definitely like it. I think if the hit tool comes along, you know, further than what I currently project it to, that definitely could be a possibility.
Yep. So moving to the outfield, we did 10 names because, you know, 5 was hard in the outfield and you count more outfield spots. So we'll move through these a little quicker. And honestly, I found this position kind of tough. Like, after a certain point, you had all the studs at the top that are still going to be there, I think, because they're already young. Like, the top dynasty outfielders now are early 20s. And so, like, pretty consistent 3 years from now. The back end, I was like, man, I really have no clue where to go. So I'm interested to see what you have at the back end, because mine were kind of tough decisions at like 8-10.
Yeah, the tail end of the, like, 1-8, I was actually pretty easy on. Like, that was probably the easiest, you know, kind of grouping of this entire list. 9 and 10, I went back and forth 1,000 freaking times, dude. Like, Michael Harris, I wanted to put in there. I wanted to put, like, Mike Trout in there, Aaron Judge, Eloy Jimenez. These are guys that missed. Like, that was so hard. And yeah, you'll get the people yelling at me for Trout or yelling at me for Michael Harris. Again, I think these guys are like 11 through 15, and that still means like top 40 overall players. So no slight to any name that didn't make the top 10 here. They're all very, very good players, obviously. But I went with two, you know, quote unquote older guys here. They'll both be 33 at this time, and they actually were born about a week apart. That's Bryce Harper and Mookie Betts. I have them at 10 and 9, respectively. I don't see them falling off. I think Betts will be fine then. You could say, like, these smaller frames don't age well, but hey, look at Altuve, who is currently, I think, 2.5 years older than Mookie. I don't see any reason to think Mookie won't be still a top 30 overall player, you know, doing his thing until, you know, in the top third of that good Dodgers lineup. Great Dodgers lineup, I should say. So still have him and Harper at 10 and 9. 8, I wanted to put this guy higher, but the names ahead of him are so freaking good. I got Jordan Walker at 8. Love Jordan Walker. We've already kind of gotten a little taste of what he's capable of in spring training with the elite sprint speed. An absolute tank off of Johnny Cueto. Granted, that was an 89-mile-an-hour kind of groove job, but still, he took it 430. I think the exit velo was 112 or 113 on it. I can't remember. Something like that. I think he's going to be 30 plus home runs, you know, 15 or so steals early on in his career. Good average, good OBP. He's going to be in the middle of a pretty good St. Louis lineup. So I wanted to put him higher, but the names ahead of him are so hard to move him ahead of. So the top seven, I'll go quicker here. I got Yordan Alvarez at seven, Kyle Tucker at six, back-to-back Astros. Tucker will be 29. Yordan will be almost, they're about half a year apart. Yordan will be almost 29. I don't see, maybe Tucker's speed falls off a little bit. I don't know. I'm nitpicking here, but he's still going to be an absolute five-category stud. Yordan's arguably the best hitter in the game. Don't see that changing. The only thing that kind of holds him down, maybe, you know, the long-term injury risk. He has a little bit higher injury risk than most on this list. So, but hey, still number seven here. At five, I'm going Corbin Carroll at five. Love. I almost want to put him higher. It was so hard not to put him higher, but I am all in on Carroll. The sprint speed is elite. Power is very good and being slept on. I think he's 25-plus home runs long-term. Good average, good OBP. I think Arizona's lineup, you know, will be – I think they got some decent talent coming up. So I think if you add to that, I think he's going to be a five-category stud. And then top four, there's not really much of a surprise here. They got Tatis at four, Soto at three, Acuna at two, J-Rod at one. So Tatis will be 27. Soto will be 27. Acuna will be the old man here at 28. And J-Rod will be 25. I don't see any reason why those guys, unless Carroll jumps up higher, unless maybe a Jordan Walker or someone like that, I don't see, you know, many chances to upseat this top four. I mean, unless Tatis continues to have Tatis, you know, issues and miss a lot of time, then he'll move down, but still probably the most talented player on the planet or one of the three. So, yeah, pretty easy top four there. But that was a fun top 10. Who you got?
Yeah, this was tough, especially the back end for me. And I kind of debated. Jordan Alvarez is one I struggle with. Like, is he going to be a DH only by then?
That's possible, yeah.
So I included 11, actually, because I wasn't sure about him. Like, I'll just, like, read them and not go into detail. But I was like, I don't know if I'm going to count Yordan or not. I have Yordan at three if he is outfield. But the DH could obviously throw that off a bit. But I will go add my 11th just for the sake of the fact to say if he does move off. I have Elijah Green 11th. It's probably kind of bold. But I think Green's got the tools. And I think the contact is going to come along better than people expect. He's amazing athlete. I mean, we've seen him go absolutely insane, hitting EVs in high school that, you know, some professional players can't do. So to me, I just think Green puts it all together, the power, the speed, and I think the contact comes along enough. So I had Elijah Green at 11. I have James Wood coming in at 10, I think James Wood's going to be the next top prospect after Carroll, Henderson, and Walker. So I went with James Wood there. His combination of, you know, hard hit balls plus his zone contact are insane for a player his size. He's also a good athlete, very sneaky good athlete for his size. I think people just look and see this massive dude and, you know, wonder what kind of athlete he is, but he's a very good athlete. So I'm all about some James Wood. I had Corbin Carroll coming in after that, and that was a tough one. I didn't really know where to go with him. I love Carroll. Obviously, I've talked him up on Twitter tonight and had people coming at me about it, but I don't really care. I'm all in on Corbin Carroll. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, the power's there. You can discount the power all you want. Power's there. The speed's there. The contact skills and plate discipline are there. I don't really know what else you want to ask for with Carroll. The only thing that doesn't push him higher is that there's other guys on the list that have been doing it and are doing it. I have Jordan Walker next. That was a tough one to go between the two. Man, I just think Jordan Walker, just everything in the profile just screams like it's going to be elite all around. And, you know, right now, you know, you may say, well, you have Carroll ranked higher as a prospect. Yeah, I do. But I really do think that, you know, Walker, I mean, he's still going to be so young at this point.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Carroll will be too, but man, I think there's 40 home runs in Walker's bat. He's got sneaky good speed as well. He stole more bases last year than he hit home runs. I mean, come on, like the dude's a good runner. He was clocked at 29.9 feet per second, and he's 6'6", like 240, like insane athlete.
Random question I just randomly thought of. Let's put these guys in a steel cage match. James Wood versus Jordan Walker. Who are you taking?
Dude, I think I'm going Jordan Walker. He's just built like a train, man.
I was leaning Walker as well, but I was like, man, that'd be fun to see this guy like old school WWF style, like
yeah.
back when we all thought it was still real. You know, I think that'd be really fun to see those two matched up, but
that would be fun. So I have Walker. I have Michael Harris II coming in next. Hard to deny what he did as a 21-year-old rookie last year who didn't play hardly any in the minors. They just sent straight to the majors. He's a gold glove center fielder. He's got elite speed. He hits the ball extremely hard. He's got underrated power, much like Carroll does. I mean, we're talking like 109 mile an hour, 90th in the minors last year. He was like 108.5 as a major leaguer last year. Insane power, dude. I think that he could be a 30-30 lock at some point, and that wouldn't surprise me a bit. So Harris may have some regression this year, but long-term, I am the slightest bit worried about Michael Harris. And this is where it got interesting. I have Juan Soto coming in next. This is really a big tier. Like this, the top six guys are all a tier, and it's like, I don't care where you put them. They're all very similar. So I went Soto, Tucker, Tatis Jr., who, and this is when I questioned position, but Tatis Jr., I mean, what happened? I mean, they've got locked up Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. They've got Manny Machado locked up at third. I mean, what are they going to put Tatis at second base? Like, I don't know. Maybe Xander plays second base and Tatis goes back to short. But I don't know. I'm kind of banking on Tatis staying in the outfield. Is that kind of your thought too?
Yeah, I just don't think that he moves back to the infield. Like you mentioned, they have the left side of their infield locked up for a while. You know, you could say that Xander moves off short in a few years. But if we're looking at 3 years out, I don't think Xander moves off before like, you know, year five or six or so. Like he'll still be like 33-ish that. So I think he's still at short. You still got Machado at third. So where, you know, where else? I don't think you're going to put Tatis at second. That'll be weird. So I think it's going to be outfield. I don't really see any other spot.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. So I left him in the outfield. And I had Jordan, as I said. I don't know if he has outfield eligibility, but for now, he does. So I'm going that way. And then J-Rod and Acuna being my 1-2. So shouldn't be a surprise. Like I've kind of been sticking by the fact that Acuna is my top guy in redraft and dynasty this offseason. I mean, I think that there's a chance that he goes 40-40. He almost did it before. I think this might be the year he does. He's running really good. He's hitting the ball really well so far this spring. So Ronald Acuna Jr. is my number one. But as I said, the top six, like I wouldn't fault anybody for going any of those at the top. Like these are all studs and they're young. And I think they're going to be studs for the foreseeable future. Any parting thoughts on the outfield?
Yeah, man, there's so many outfielders I like. Like I thought of Green, thought of James Wood. I even thought of Jackson Chourio a little bit, like Eloy Jimenez. Michael Harris was number 11. I probably should have put him over Betts or Harper's. I definitely echo everything you said. I think he's legit. It's just so many really good names here that it was hard to lead off. But yeah, the outfield, well, we talk about, you know, more so in redraft, but how it kind of dries up in the middle rounds, but there's no denying that at the top, like this is the most studly position for fantasy, more than shortstop, more than whatever, more than pitcher, obviously, but more than any other spot. Outfield is like look at my current top 10. I think my 10 right now has, let's see, my current top seven is six outfielders. You know, it's J-Rod, Acuna, Soto, Tatis, Tucker, and Jordan. And then obviously you got the young guys, Carroll and Harris moving on up. So you got the older guys, Judge and Betts, Harper and Trout, 30-year-olds. This is such a good position. And, you know, we could see some other guys and move up into these ranks as well. Like maybe a Drew Jones gets up there, though. He's, again, kind of in that similar boat to Elijah Green. But, hey, he's got the upside too. A lot of good outfield prospects as well. Yeah, this position is going to be fine, though. I'm not worried about it long term. It's going to be elite at the top, but I think the depth will kind of fill out again with all these good prospects. So yeah, this is the best position in baseball.
Yeah, I mean it's absolutely loaded. So the top was pretty easy. Let's wrap up the show with the pitcher position. This one was fun. This one was a bit challenging too for me. Overall, the position's in good hands, and pitching feels as deep as it has been in a long time. So I'm curious what prospects may have snuck in for you, who you got at the back end, because the top was pretty easy for me, but the back end, I was like, I can go some different directions here. So I'm curious to hear your top 10 pitchers for 2026.
I went a different direction like a few times because there's some guys that are going to be like 30, 31, as we've seen with the guys like, you know, the Wheelers of the world. You know, these guys don't necessarily fall off in their early 30s. So there's a lot of hard cuts to make here. Like Dylan Cease was a hard one to not include on a list like this. I think he'll be very close. You know, like I think Aaron Nola, who will be 33 then, he'll still be there. Brandon Woodruff will be 33. I think those will be all like in that kind of like where Wheeler is now, that 11 to 15 range. Kind of like where we have Rodon now. It's a lot of hard guys to cut here, but had to narrow it to 10. At 10, I got George Kirby. You know, we've seen the elite command and control already. I think there's more, you know, I think the whiff rates are going to go up. Like, let's watch him pitch. He passes the eye test. I think it's all about locating, you know, in the proper spot, sequencing. He'll get there. Like, he's got good stuff. So will he be like, you know, 35% K rate guy? No. But is he a guy that can get up in that 27, 28% K rate? Yeah, I think he already was at 25 or something percent this year. So I think that can tick up. I'm not worried about that whatsoever. Very high floor. At 9, I probably shouldn't put this guy in, but I'm still insanely high. One of my favorite dynasty buys right now at any position. I'm going Shane Baz at 9. Like, the stuff is elite. Like I said, he made the adjustments he said he was going to make to, you know, throw, you know, get ahead in the count more, just throw more strikes, command his pitches better. He did that. He had one of the, I think, the highest K minus walk rate that year in the 2021 in the minor leagues. I think the stuff is elite. So I'm not ready to, you know, drop him far down my rankings yet. I think he's still going to be an ace long term. I got Christian Javier at 8. This is one I did struggle with, but yeah, you know, a lot of some of the ERA indicators are pointing at, you know, some regression, some of the BABIPs and, you know, and the shift stuff like that. But the stuff is really, really good. And I think he'll be keep the walk rate in check enough to remain kind of like a top tier arm. I think he's going to be just fine. I don't see him taking a step back. Stuff is elite. You know, that Houston, the pitching development is one of the best in baseball. They know what they're doing down there. So I'm not worried about Javier at all. 7. I got Ricky Tiedemann at 7. If you go back and watch his inning from, well, when you're listening to this, it'll be yesterday on Tuesday. Like, obviously it was just one inning, but the dude is so freaking good. Fastball, changeup, slider. He struck out. His velocity seems to be up. I don't know if that was the gun at the stadium or what, but I think this guy's an ace. Like, he's showing so much poise for his age, very advanced. There's a reason why I have him number 3 in my pitching prospect rankings ahead of Yuri Perez. Most people have that back, you know, flip-flopped. I am all in on Tiedemann. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. 6, Sandy Alcantara. Where's it to say? The guy is super, as rock solid as they come. Pencil him in for 200 innings, 200 Ks, good ratios. I don't really see that changing. SOB in his 30 season then. Don't see that changing whatsoever. 5 and 4. These guys are back-to-back in my prospect rankings. I'll keep them back-to-back. I got Painter at 5, G-Rod at 4. I think they're studs. I think they're all-run studs. And I think these are going to be two guys that break onto the scene this year. And by year 3 for them, they'll be, you know, top 10 arms, no doubt in my mind. I got Spencer Strider at 3. Definitely legit what he did. Fastball is elite. Slider is even more elite. Changeup, as we've mentioned many times, has really good characteristics to it, good potential with it. Maybe he starts incorporating that more or even not. Like, this dude's a stud. Strikeout upside is insane, as we saw already. So I'm keeping him top 5. I still got Shane McClanahan at 2. He'll be 29 in this age, or in this, excuse me, in this 2026 season. I'm not overly worried about the shoulder. We've seen, obviously, the stuff is elite. He can get ground balls. He can limit our contact. Everything you want from a guy that you know, got to lock into your dynasty rotation and, you know, leave him for years to come. And at number one, I debated not having this guy number one. He's going to be 31, but I still think Corbin Burns will be number one. Again, 31. He's got great frame. I don't see any reason as to why he won't be doing the same thing in 3 years as he's doing now. I think look at Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole right now is 32. He'll be 35, 36. I think he's another guy that fell just outside for me. But give me a reason why Corbin Burns can't do in 3 years what he's doing now. So he's the best pitcher in the game now. I don't see anybody overtaking him, so I'll leave him at one. So that's my top 10.
Yeah, that's a really good group. And I agree. I think we've seen the stud pitchers just be elite for such a long time that it's hard to really discount that and say he's going to be 31. Nothing against that at all.
Right.
I think I still have Burns number one. Spoiler, I think that he'll still be the best pitcher in baseball in 3 years. But let's go to the back end. Starting at 10, I went with Hunter Green. I think that's a wild card pick. I don't know.
The Cincinnati duo of him and Lodolo did cross my mind.
Yeah, so that was a really tough one for me, but I think Green's in for a big breakout this year. The ballpark scares me a bit, but at the end of the day, I think Green has the talent to transcend that. We saw him be absolutely dominant down the stretch of the season, despite some health issues. So I think Green's in for a big year. I have Ricky Tiedemann coming in next. Again, I don't have much to add to what Eric said. He was insane today. I think it caught a lot of people's attention. Maybe people that don't really follow prospects, but I'm wondering if Tiedemann's up sooner than later. I really didn't think Tiedemann was going to exhaust prospect eligibility this year. Man, the Jays are contending. The back of that rotation sucks. I mean, just being honest, they could use Ricky Tiedemann. Do they call him up this year? I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I think they do.
Yeah. I mean, it's highly possible. And it could be sooner than I think. But I went Grayson Rodriguez next. The only reason I have G-Rod higher is I think there's more health concerns than people want to admit with him. And that's my only knock. I mean, G-Rod's got a well-rounded arsenal. He's got good command control. He does everything really well. But I'm a bit concerned about his health. So that's the only thing that put him here. I had Brandon Woodruff next. I don't have much to say about Brandon Woodruff. He's as steady as they get. I mean, he's 30 right now, but again, the age thing doesn't matter as much with pitchers. I mean, we just saw Verlander at 39 years old coming off TJ post 1.75 ERA?
Yeah.
I mean, just insane. So pitchers are proving they can pitch longer and deeper in their career. So that age doesn't worry me with Brandon Woodruff a bit. Even if he's 33, I still think he'll be really, really good. Similar can be said for Aaron Nola, who's coming next here. I like Nola a lot. I don't have any qualms with him. I think he's the kind of profile that ages pretty well, too. And so, Nola, he's been really good. He's been steady. I think he's still a dude. And this is a counterpart, George Kirby, who we've kind of comped him to. Eric started that comp a while back. But I've got George Kirby pretty high here, and I think that he will be one that is going to be really good for a long time. I think he's primed for a breakout this year. And the crazy thing is that I think you can still get him at an affordable cost. He's ranked fairly high in dynasty rankings, but I think that value is only going to rise. So I have Kirby. And as I'm doing this, I'm also realizing that I have 11 on the sheet because I had 11 outfielders and pitchers right by. It's actually an 11 pitchers. So I'm sorry about that. But Green was technically 11, Tiedemann 10, etc. But next is Sandy Alcantara. I mean, durable as they get, I don't care if he doesn't strike out 30% of batters. I mean, he threw 228 innings last year. Nobody was even close to that. And we forget sometimes that we don't play in a K per nine league or a K percent league. Doesn't matter, because if you get volume, he's going to get the strikeouts. So I'm still in on Alcantara long term. I think he's going to be really good for a really long time. As with anybody here, I have Spencer Strider next. That's my number four. Strider, I mean, he was so good last year. I don't really need to just ramble off the stats about how good he was. Done that enough on here. He's elite. I don't really see, even with regression, I still think he's a top pitcher. He's still an ace. I have Shane McClanahan, number three. Again, the arsenal is insane. The whiff rates on the pitches, so good. The health concerns that I have about him right now, probably not going to be an issue in 3 years. So I think Shane Mack is still up there. I have Andrew Painter too. Might be absolutely insane, but I just think what Andrew Painter did last year, just insane for a 19-year-old. I think he's going to break camp with the Phillies. I really do. He's going to be 19 on opening day, which is just nuts to even consider. I don't know, man. I just think that Andrew Painter is an ace, and I think he's going to be a top pitcher in baseball. But I have Corbin Burnes at one, as I alluded to. I don't really think much changes in 3 years for Burnes. Still think he's a top guy at 31 that he is today. So, yeah, it's quite a good group here of arms. And I think pitchers for fantasy in really good hands. So just go review that again. I had Hunter Green at 11. Sorry, had an extra guy. Ricky Tiedemann at 10. Grayson Rodriguez, Brandon Woodruff, Aaron Nola, George Kirby. Top five of Sandy Alcantara, Spencer Strider, Shane McClanahan, Andrew Painter, and Corbin Burnes. Any parting thoughts as we go, Eric?
Now, as my voice is going even more, wow. Now, I have no parting thoughts because I sound like crap.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Sorry, I shouldn't have sent it to you. But again, we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. We love doing these kind of shows. These are a blast. These are always a fan favorite, too. We love getting the response from you guys. Feel free to tweet at us. Comment who you think may be a top guy that we may not have talked about. Feel free to do that. Comment on the tweet with the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review. As we said at the beginning of the show, it does go a really long way to continue to grow our show as we continue to hope to have our best year yet. We're already off to a great start. We've had a great January and February. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for all the support. We appreciate you. In the meantime, take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.